You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Hello and welcome to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm your host, Dr. Kristen Lierley. And if you haven't joined us before, thanks for tuning in and joining our conversation. And conversation is really what this show is all about. It's like we're sitting around enjoying a beverage of our choice, just talking about a whole variety of things. So last week, it was a view of Ukraine from the front lines with Lana Nyland, the founder and CEO of Ukrainian Patriot. And she was joined by Kelly Peterson, the Green Bay-based Emmy Award-winning journalist. The two of them are working on a documentary about Lana's experience in Ukraine. So that's super exciting stuff with Wisconsin roots. And then the week before, it was Appleton's own Emily Cephos, who helped me recap the Supreme Court election and then shared her thoughts about the road ahead here in Wisconsin and how you can get involved right in your own community. Opportunities for everybody. So if you missed either of these shows the first time around, you're in luck. You can find them wherever you get your podcasts. But today, it's so exciting. The doctor is in. Doctors, actually. I'm joined by Dr. Patrick McBride, preventive cardiologist and former dean of students at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. He is also an NIH researcher, that's the National Institutes of Health, at the University of Wisconsin, who has been personally affected by the Trump administration's cuts to the agency. And so, to be clear, this conversation is going to be with a preventive cardiologist, about what it really means to make America healthy again, with a special focus on what's going on right here in Wisconsin. And at the end of our conversation, we'll save a little time for some not totally unrelated Wisconsin sports stories. How does that sound, Dr. McBride?
Oh, I'm looking forward to it, Dr. Lively.
I am looking forward to all of it. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, this is exciting and really important to all of Wisconsinites.
It is. And we're going to help to bridge that relevance and help people understand what this really means for us as individuals, regardless of where we live. And, you know, for full disclosure, I should mention that when you were the dean of the medical school in Madison for 13 years, you were the boss. So I would first like to start by just acknowledging that you helped to train hundreds of physicians across Wisconsin and far beyond. So we all owe you a debt of gratitude. Thank you.
Yes. I was there for 38 years and every year had 900 medical students. And that's just one example of how critical the university is. We were just one small part on the west side of campus, and there's over 50,000 students at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And then we have the whole UW system that's at risk here, and campuses are closing because of cuts in UW. And so people in Richland Center and people at Parkside and people in all these areas, Waukesha, UW Waukesha, where I played basketball for a year and was an assistant trainer and started my career, closed. I was heartbroken, and, you know, I got a partial scholarship there. And, you know, we're losing access. And what that means is that future employees for Wisconsin businesses and technology and the future of our state is critically affected by these cuts. And science, education, technology, it's frightening what the future means for our businesses and our citizens in the state.
It's really true. It's workforce, it's the economy, and it's all of us. I mean, I'm a proud Badger, you know, graduate of the University of Wisconsin in Madison, but I've got two boys at Stevens Point. I have one who graduated from Green Bay. Like, the university is in so many ways the heart of this state. And we'll talk a little bit later in the conversation about the Wisconsin idea, which is something I absolutely love, and I know it means a lot to you too.
I did research on the Wisconsin idea, and people don't understand that a dollar invested in the university system returns $10 to the state. And I mean, if you had any investment where you could put in a dollar and a year later it was $10, I mean, you'd be pouring money into it.
Yeah. Isn't that wild? I think that number is really important to emphasize. $1 invested into the university system turns into $10 in our state for the people of Wisconsin. And,
you know, the other thing to know for Wisconsin is NIH and CDC, where I had grants and went many times to both places. And I'll tell you, it's overwhelming when you go. My experiences there were really overwhelming. I felt so inadequate when I was there because there were Nobel Prize winners there and scientists that are world-class scientists. But these places, NIH and CDC, were actually started by two Wisconsin representatives, Republican Les Aspin, the youngest congressman in Wisconsin history, and Senator William Proxmire, one of the most popular U.S. senators in history, right after World War II, sat down and said, you know what, after our experiences in World War II, watching soldiers and service people die of infections, and, you know, more soldiers have always died of infectious diseases and other problems than bullet wounds in war, starting from the Revolutionary War. And they said, you know, we really need to invest in science. And the investment in NIH and CDC is a very small part of the budget, but a critical part of the budget for all of us. And the return is huge. And the two of them sat down and created the NIH and CDC. So we can be very proud of the Wisconsin history. And what NIH and CDC and the federal government do for our universities and for the state of Wisconsin is enormous. We're talking about Alzheimer's, obesity, diabetes, heart disease, cancer, infectious diseases. You know, when I first heard that Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who knows nothing about science and a vaccine skeptic, and it's a ridiculous choice, I was explaining to my wife what this could mean to NIH and CDC. I had just had two friends who just heard that they were cured from 28 years of leukemia because of a research trial that they were in at the NIH. I started sobbing because I was so worried for them about losing their opportunity to be in these trials. They're working with a Nobel Prize winner in cancer research out there. Mm-hmm. So it's really important. These are two Wisconsin citizens being able to participate in trials. Our Alzheimer's researchers are presenting to Congress and saying, you know, research is being cut off because we have students who came from other countries on visas to learn about our research on Alzheimer's so we can help people all over the world. A lot of those students stay here and work and start industries here. That's happened many times. Stephen Jobs' father came and got his PhD at Madison, and we have Apple computers and our iPhones because we got Stephen Jobs. I mean, this happens all the time.
Yeah. And I'd just like to point out, so Steve Jobs, of course, the founder of Apple, his mother is from De Pere. His adopted father, I think, is from Germantown. I mean, all of these Wisconsin connections, and it's wild. And it's the science that brought them here in the first place. And this is personal. Like, for you, you love Wisconsin. You love Wisconsin. I love Wisconsin.
Absolutely. But, it was the Brewers' first bad boy.
We're going to talk about that later.
Yes.
But let's talk about...
I wrote many NIH grants, and my first grant was the Wisconsin Idea Grant. And you know what the Wisconsin Idea is? The borders of the campus or the borders of our state. So I sat down and I thought, how can I help the citizens of the state and hire people? I hired 56 people to go around the state and help educate doctors, nurses, and people working in medical primary care offices, be more effective in talking to people about tobacco prevention, blood pressure, diabetes, and cholesterol. And we developed a program to go into primary care offices and sit down and say, how can we help you? And we had developed a whole teaching program, and they loved it. And we were in small towns, practices including Green Bay and cities all around Green Bay area. And we worked for 5 years to improve this. And, you know, when I started doing my work in 1984, we started the whole science of preventive cardiology here in Madison. And when we started, smoking was 38%. And now it's down to less than 14%. Mm-hmm. And that's not just us, but the Center for Tobacco Research started in Madison, and I did research with them for over 30 years. And they're the number one tobacco research center in the world. I was just talking to you the other day about how I developed kind of a rare medical problem. And I was mm-hmm. talking to my doctor about it, and he said, "Well, you're lucky. The expert in the world in your rare problem is at UW." I mean, that's what we have. And his grants come from NIH, and they employ, you know, over 25 people. And this multiplies, you know, and the money filters out into the community. Those people make salaries. They buy things. They buy American goods. They buy cars. They pay their mortgages. You know, they pay their taxes. People need to understand that money returns to our state, you know, and they go to Packer games, you know. So it's really important to realize that these threats to our universities are nonsense. And there are federal dollars coming home to Wisconsin to employ our people, to advance science and education. These are financial aid for our students. These are opportunities for our students to become the scientists, the doctors, the nurses, the pharmacists, all of our healthcare workers. And, you know, we have a massive shortage of healthcare workers right now for the future. Mm-hmm. So if these threats and cuts continue, we're in very serious trouble.
Yeah. And the health of Wisconsinites, you know, you talked about your work across the state, and we only have a minute or so left, but I definitely want to make sure that we get into what is preventive cardiology? How does that affect Wisconsinites specifically? How does smoking tie in and managing cholesterol and controlling your weight and getting exercise and all of those things? And how have those programs been impacted by what's going on in Washington, D.C.? I think for a lot of us right now, we're seeing all of these changes happening and we're hearing about these cuts, but it doesn't feel real because it feels like it's happening out there in the greater world. But, you know, as you so beautifully helped us understand, it is affecting us as individuals right here in Wisconsin. So next, Dr. McBride and I will discuss what this means for you as a Wisconsinite. This is Dr. Kristen Lierley. You're listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show.
Yippee, what about me? I'm smoking till I shake and drink until I can't see. I'm coping, all right, everything's fine. Sleeping alone, never felt so wrong. I'm drinking alone.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. I am Dr. Kristen Lierley. This is the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, and I'm here today with my former boss, Dr. Pat McBride, preventive cardiologist and former dean of students at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. And we're talking about making America healthy again and the relationship between MAHA, prevention, and cuts to the NIH, the National Institutes of Health, under Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and the Trump administration. Now, Dr. McBride, I hear RFK Jr. and his spokespeople say that they want to make America healthy again by focusing on prevention, which sounds great to me. I love prevention. You love prevention. That's
absolutely
your whole job. But
100%.
As a preventive cardiologist who also does the research, this hasn't been your experience, has it?
No. So just today, for example, a study was published that showed that the shingles vaccine helps prevent dementia. And we've been part of and still are part of a number of studies that show if you focus on the risk factors to reduce heart disease, like stopping smoking, reducing cholesterol, reducing your blood pressure, you can reduce dementia, for example, reduce the risk for dementia, because most of dementia is actually blood vessels in your brain that get blocked up. There's also Alzheimer's, which is a separate form of dementia, and they're actually looking at some of the medicines for cholesterol and some of the things. We've been part of a lot of studies of those. The statins actually help to reduce dementia, and we did a lot of studies on that. So we cross over the scientists. We work together. So we've been able to reduce stroke, for example. When I first started preventive cardiology and we started studies, we've reduced stroke by over 70% in the country. We've reduced heart attacks by over 60% when I started in 1984 until now. And so by reducing smoking from 38% to less than 14%, by improving the management of blood pressure with the a discovery of new medicines, which are remarkable with way less side effects than we used to have. People don't understand, for example, that statins were discovered in yeast and that they're natural ingredients from yeast, and they're remarkable. We did the first study in 1987 that showed that you can actually reverse blockages in arteries with cholesterol medicine. And now there's over hundreds of studies that show that. And they actually go in your brain. I mean, and also, even more important, we showed that physical activity has remarkable effects across your whole body, reduces cancer, reduces dementia, reduces heart disease. And let's talk about dairy products and farmers and things like that. We showed dairy products are really important to bone health and to brain health and to heart health, and that eggs aren't harmful. They're really helpful.
If you could make them affordable.
Right.
How easy is it to get NIH funding for your research? Is it a breeze? You just apply for it and you just get it, and the government is just handing out free dollars?
Don't make me cry. It's the hardest thing that I ever did. You know, studying disease, as you know, I was never your boss. I was your teacher and your mentor. But studying in medical school is extraordinarily hard, but writing an NIH grant is the hardest thing I ever did. It would take 2 years to get an NIH grant, and then it would be sent back. And I want people to understand, when DOGE goes in and fires 7,000 people, they fired the most important people in science in the United States, because these people at NIH are scientists that evaluate our grants, and they hold our feet to the fire. And I'd have to rewrite a grant usually two and sometimes three times to get it absolutely right. And I would meet with a panel of 20 of the best scientists in the country who would evaluate my grant and go over it and over it, the statistics, it took so much creativity, the design of the grant, before I finally would get funding, because they would believe that this is the taxpayers' nation's funding. And it had to be great science before it came out. And I did a grant that was $10.5 million brought back to Wisconsin, funding citizens to work on this grant. And we went to 220 practices in Wisconsin and gave money to people in those practices to work to try to find out how we could help citizens in Wisconsin reduce heart disease and stroke. That's the kind of thing that happens with grants. It hires people, it employs people, and at the same time, it makes people healthier, and it does it the right way. You know, we're at Wisconsin, my next door neighbor is studying antibiotic resistance, and his mentor right now is the chief of infectious disease, and he's discovered a number of new antibiotics and ways of helping us, you know, prevent infectious disease. You know, it just spills over. The house next door to him is where Kamala Harris's parents lived while they studied at UW-Madison. His father was an economist, and, you know, her father was an economist, and mother was a cancer researcher. This university is vital. You know, my first patient when I was a medical student, they said, "Oh my gosh, your very first patient is really somebody." He was the chancellor of the university and was named E.B. Fred, and he discovered three B vitamins and the germ Pseudomonas. And, you know, there's people here that you know, Stephen Babcock that worked on the pasteurization of milk, and people in this university go all over the state and help their farmers improve their yield and protect their crops and get more milk out of their cows and do genetic engineering. It's all about improving the employability of people and making the state healthier and wealthier.
I love the story of warfarin, Coumadin. The generic name is warfarin, and it's named after the Wisconsin Alumni Research Foundation. And as I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, at some point, a farmer went out to his field and found a bunch of cows that were dead in the field that had bled, and they were able to isolate that substance that made them bleed, and now we use it. It is the original and most commonly used blood thinner right here in Wisconsin.
Yes, I mean, the first call he made was to the university extension and said, could you please help me? I don't know why my cows are dying. And they figured it out. And then they patented it. And it has saved millions and millions of lives. You know, 2 months ago, I got influenza A from my granddaughter. And a week later, I was coughing so hard, I tore an artery in my neck. And I got a blood clot in my brain, and guess what they used, you know, to dissolve the blood clot, you know, warfarin. And it saved my life, you know, because of this discovery at the university. And I wouldn't be here on this show without that discovery. And this is the same place that discovered vitamin D, and it's in milk, and every carton of milk that's sold in the United States, 1 cent comes back to this university. To help and it funds research to make our state healthier and wealthier.
All of these things that we had no idea had Wisconsin connections. And we're going to dig more into that. And when we come back from this break, we're going to talk about how these cuts affect every single one of us here in Wisconsin in subtle but really foundational ways. This is Dr. Kristen Lierley hanging out with Dr. Pat McBride. And you are listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show right here on WGBW and WISS.
Well, it's a sad fate, always late, sort of good, but not great. I'm no brain, beer stained, a challenge and a mistake. But I know you don't care about stupid stuff like that. Cause you're a dog-loving, tree-hugging turkey with a little stuffing, easy-going picture poses, spending money like it's nothing. Say you want a good guy, but they always fall flat. Come on, Claire, come on, Claire. Come on, Claire, come on, Claire. Come on, Claire, come on, Claire.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I am Dr. Kristen Lierley, and I'm joined by my friend, Dr. Pat McBride. He's a preventive cardiologist and the former dean of students at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. If you missed the beginning of our conversation, you can always find it wherever you get your podcasts, and you can always find me here on Saturdays and Sundays at 3 on WGBW and WISS, and really cool stuff streaming on the Civic Media app. You can find everything there, actually, on the app. All your favorite hosts, talk, music. And speaking of music, back when I was in med school, Dr. McBride, some of my classmates had a band called the Arrhythmias. Are they still around?
They're still going.
I love
longest
that.
Longest running band. They're as long running as the Rolling Stones.
This is just like med students plugging in, using their musical talent. You wouldn't believe all the musical talent in this group of students. So that's super fun stuff. And that's one of the things that I want to let our audience know about. In future episodes, we are going to feature lesser known artists with more Wisconsin flavor, just to highlight some of the fun stuff that's happening. So if you have suggestions, hit me up on my social media, of course, Dr. Kristen Lierley on all the platforms. Our music today is The Cuz. This is a band out of Oregon, and there's a tie-in here to the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. You know, Drew Lakuta, who is a professor of cardiology. So Drew's son, Ben, is a drummer, and my oldest son, Abe's classmate. And when they were all in middle school, they formed the cutest little band, and they did a little concert for us on Mother's Day at the Oregon pavilion. And we thought, oh, this is so sweet. They were pretty good. And now 10 years later, they're still playing together with other ensembles. Ben and the guitarist Sam, who is an NIH researcher, interestingly, studying bugs.
Wow.
They still play together. He's down at Oklahoma State. Nate runs The Roost, which is a fried chicken spot that you can sometimes find on State Street and all over Madison. And then Nick, the lead singer and bassist, and my oldest son, Abe, who's going to be our guest next week, they play together pretty often. So Abe was 4 when I started med school, and now he's going to be 26 next week.
Wow. And the best singer ever for the arrhythmist, Dr. Brian Hong, who's over in the Waupaca area, just did a big concert in Green Bay.
Did he really?
Yes. Great surgery.
Oh my gosh. I've got to get back in touch with Dr. Hong. We need to have him on the show.
Yes. You really do. It'd be a great interview and have him sing.
I'm making a note right now. But for now, we got to get back to business because we've got important stuff to talk about. So as we talked about before the break, the UW does a ton of research. There are all these Wisconsin connections. And I was surprised to find out that the UW is one of the 10 largest research institutions in the country, in the whole country.
Well, we would be number one many years if it wasn't for defense research that Hopkins, Harvard, and several of the Ivies get, like Columbia, which you're reading about. They get a lot of defense research because they're on the East Coast, but we are usually the leader in NIH-initiated research coming out of Wisconsin because we have such a great history of genetics, cancer, infectious disease, and heart disease coming out of this thing. And now we're one of the nation's leader in Alzheimer's research. So this is the nation's leader, and they're coming after us. We just have huge cuts. And again, one of the most important things with the employee cuts is that our researchers cannot contact people. It's like trying to call the Social Security office now. You can't. There's the study sections where they're evaluating these grants for funding are all just canceled. The vaccination meetings are canceled. The funds are frozen. I've got a young researcher that I'm working on her grant, just mentoring with her at no cost. I'm not charging anything. Her grant is just stuck, and she's at the point where it was approved, but the funding is stuck. So she's going to have to lay off employees. These are jobs. This is what's happening all over. So we've got really important grants that are really important to Wisconsin. There are grants in poultry science, in meat science, in dairy, all over campus, veterinary medicine. They're just stuck and frozen. So this campus, this means students who are trying to do research, trying to get their, degrees, their PhDs, their master's degrees. They can't get their dissertations done. They want to go out and get jobs at Exact Sciences to study, colon cancer, and Epic to do our medical records, and they can't get jobs, and we're losing them. We're losing the entire next generation of scientists and healthcare workers.
I had no idea how big the biohealth industry was in Wisconsin. Over 141,000 people statewide are employed by our biohealth industry, which is generated directly out of the university. And the potential for the impact in the state is $40 billion economically.
Oh, and
$40 billion.
UW-Green Bay is huge, and not just health sciences, but also other types of science, right? And UW-Eau Claire is huge in chemistry and sciences. UW-La Crosse is really big in exercise sciences, medical sciences. It's all over the state, and it's being cut by, the state and the federal government. And it's a massive mistake because, like I mentioned, every dollar invested is a direct investment in the state. It's the best investment we can make.
Mm-hmm. We are talking with Dr. Pat McBride, preventive cardiologist and former dean of students at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health, about making America healthy again and the DOGE cuts to the NIH, the impact that it has on the people, the infrastructure here in Wisconsin. Hey, Dr. McBride, these MAHA cuts.
It's the investment in our kids. What family wouldn't invest in their children? You know, this we need to invest in our children. And I'll tell you something. Sometimes people say, well, I don't have kids or, you know, whatever. It's like, do you care that your cashier at the grocery store knows how to add the numbers? Do you care that, you know, if there's the nurse at the hospital knows how to take care of you, or, the, you know, your doctor's smart, or, you know, somebody's doing science, or we're going to advance our science in the state, you know, or we're going to keep our state really healthy? You know, what RFK Jr. is doing isn't making America healthy again. It's real science that makes America healthy again. You know, just freezing everything doesn't make America healthy again. This is ridiculous.
I think the interconnection, for a lot of people, they look at this and they think, well, research, how does that affect me? And it's really important to understand that it affects us in really profound and foundational ways. Places where we don't understand, you know, the Alzheimer's research, the smoking cessation. I mean, you're a cardiologist. People may not understand the relationship between smoking and obesity and the use of statins and all of that, and how it fits into your practice, which is to reduce the risk of heart disease, the number one killer of Americans.
Yeah, I mean, many of the studies on really important natural treatments for heart disease, like, for example, red wine and heart disease, or But we studied the effectiveness of which combinations of medicines were most effective in helping people stop smoking. We, the quit line for smoking started here. So people could call in a free 800 number, 24/7, 365. They could call in on Christmas Day or New Year's Day if they said, I want to quit smoking, and get free help and free medicine to quit smoking. And it worked like mad to help people nationwide quit smoking. We've started studies on what combination of medicines reduce Alzheimer's. This shingles study today is really, go get your shingles shot. If you're over 50, it'll reduce dementia. I mean, these kinds of things are so important, you know? And we got anti-vaccine, and we know vaccines reduce disease. I mean, the measles vaccine was the most effective vaccine in history. Look what's going on.
Yeah. And we are the second most under vaccinated state. So we are really at risk in Wisconsin. And I got to tell you, like, I always relied on the CDC's weekly emails to let me know where are the outbreaks and what are the new innovations. There's a new antibiotic to treat gonorrhea. And gonorrhea in my field is a big deal. There's a lot of drug resistant gonorrhea out there. We need more treatments. That's a brand new thing that just came out because of research. But it's not just the research that's being blocked. It's also the communication. Regular doctors like me are not getting the information that we need in order to be able to take care of our patients and provide the best possible care.
Well, you know, you and I was started as a family physician, spent 20 years. I delivered a lot of babies. And I went to the CDC many times. I wrote 35 guidelines with NIH and CDC. And these guidelines were written to help inform doctors, nurses, and other healthcare workers about everything. I wrote guidelines about physical activity, obesity, diabetes, blood pressure, and they were written for American citizens and the healthcare professionals. And when I went to CDC, I'm not kidding, I want to cry about how they've been picked on, because these are the best people in the world. They go investigate outbreaks all over the world. It's unbelievable what these people do for Americans. And so we would work for 2 or 3 years reading every study possible about what was going on, provide the best evidence to people about things about OBGYN, about women's and pregnancies, and how to have a safe pregnancy, and make sure you get your vaccines before you get pregnant, and take vitamins, you know, prenatal vitamins. And, you know, we're trying to keep America healthy, and it's all being turned upside down. It's going to be misinformation, disinformation, the wrong thing. You know, I mean, it's so critical to be safe during a pregnancy. I'm not kidding. I'm heartbroken.
I was really heartened, though, to see RFK message that it's important to get the MMR vaccine. I was surprised by that because he has been so against it. But when he encouraged people to do that, which is what we're encouraging people to do, if you are not vaccinated, if you don't know, check it out. You can always talk to your healthcare provider about it. But we are definitely anticipating a problem with measles. And to see him, and I don't want to say backpedaling, like I want to, as much as I can, acknowledge like this was the right thing to do. So maybe this constant pressure, maybe us continuing to talk about this is going to help encourage these leaders to start doing the right thing on behalf of the people of Wisconsin and across the country.
Well, my sister got polio. You know, I got measles. I saw kids go deaf with measles. You know, kids got brain damage from measles. I saw it in the South. You know, I practiced in South Carolina for 5 years. You know, I saw kids get meningitis when it could have been prevented. And I saw kids get brain damage from that and have deafness. And, you know, it doesn't have to happen. It's preventable. So vaccines save millions of lives, thousands of lives in the state of Wisconsin. So it's so important, you know, this information about vaccines. First of all, they don't cause autism. That's a genetic problem. And it's really important that people get these vaccines for their children. It's always hard, scary to put needles in little babies. I did it in my office all the time. And when they get multiple vaccines at once, it hurts. And, you know, kids feel bad for a while. When you get your shingles shot, it hurts for 2 days. But nobody wants shingles. I just had a very good friend get shingles in the region of the eye. It's very dangerous. Oh, you can lose your eyesight. So you know, people really need to understand that these shingles, I mean, these vaccines were developed very carefully. They were very carefully studied. The reason we got a coronavirus vaccine so rapidly was because we were so prepared for it, because there are so many other coronaviruses and the science was there. And the Trump administration did it. And congratulations to them. Operation Warp Speed was an amazing success. The most successful rapid vaccine development in history, because the NIH was there and ready to do it. And they tested it and it was effective and safe.
And it's so important to acknowledge those victories and also to acknowledge that this is really heavy stuff that we're talking about. But it's really important. These conversations are so important. And we have to balance them with lightness. So you know what we're going to do when we come back? We're going to talk about sports. Wisconsinites love our sports. Yes.
And we want to go to a game and be safe there. So we'll talk about
That's right. You're not going to want to miss this, friends. You're listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm Dr. Kristen Lierley, and we're going to be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
I'm flying!
I am the luckiest boy in the world.
Well, I am Dr. Kristen Lierley. This is the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. We've been talking with Dr. Pat McBride, who is the luckiest boy in the world. He is also a preventive cardiologist and the former dean of students at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. And it's been heavy stuff up until now. We've been talking about the dismantling of our nation's health infrastructure and how it affects us both personally and publicly right here in Wisconsin. So if you missed any of it, you can listen to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show on demand, whenever you want, wherever you get your podcasts. But now, because it can't be all heavy, I have a little fun fact about Dr. McBride. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Before you were a doctor, you were a kid who grew up in Wauwatosa and somehow ended up as a kid in the brand new Milwaukee Brewers organization. You were there from the very beginning. Tell us the story.
Correct. Well, I grew up being called the dumb twin because, you know, my twin brother, the mayor of Wauwatosa, and I was really struggling. And then I decided to enter a contest to be the first bat boy for the Brewers, a 25-word essay contest, and I won it. And I became the first bat boy for the Brewers. I got there before Bob Uecker did. Got to know him well. And I spent seven years with the Brewers. And if you worked for the Brewers, You got to work the five Green Bay Packer games on the sidelines and in the locker room that played in Milwaukee. And I decided that same year that I would, since the Milwaukee Bucks were a new franchise the year before and Lou Alcindor was coming, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, that I would call them up and see if I could become a ball boy for their team. And I called the day before they were interviewing. And I went down on the bus and I interviewed and I got a job with the Milwaukee Bucks. And I got on the bench. And the next year they won the NBA championship. And I've got a ring.
Amazing.
So I worked for all three teams.
You didn't just work for all three teams.
I became the luckiest boy in the world.
But you formed relationships with, I bet you have good euchre stories.
Oh, I sure do. I got a lot of euchre stories.
Can you share any of them on the radio?
Yeah, absolutely. So we get to go on one road trip every year with the Brewers. And I was sitting in a restaurant bar with Robin Yount and Paul Molitor and Gantner and all those Charlie Moore characters, and they're all, Euchre was entertaining everybody and telling a bunch of stories as usual. He's like, hey, you know, that I was doing this. And somebody said something like, that's not very funny. And then they used to love to give it back to him, you know. Everybody loved Euchre, and he was always the same. I mean, what you saw on television on Johnny Carson, that's Euchre. And he was that way all the time. And somebody said something to him, and he acted like he was offended. He goes, well, that's it. I'm out of here. I'm gone. And he storms to the door, and it's this big, we were in L.A. because we were playing California Angels, and he storms to the door, and everybody's like, wow, was he really mad? And somebody said, well, we ought to go get him, you know, we ought to go find out. So we all go to the door, and we open this thing, there's a doorman there, and said, hey, did you see a gray-haired guy go out of here and everything? I said, well, yeah, he took off. And all of a sudden, this cab sitting out front pulls away, and Euchre's laying under it. And he jumps up and he goes, hey, I was just kidding. Like he had it all set up. It's like, this is the kind of stuff he used to do all the time. Everyone just loves his character, you know. When I was 16, I had my tonsils taken out. And I was in St. Mary's Hospital in Milwaukee. And I'm listening to the game on the radio. And he goes, well, hey, I'd just like to say hello to our bat boy, Pat McBride, who's in the hospital getting his tonsils out. I hope he gets to take him home. You know, he's doing that kind of buzz. Oh, my God. It's like, holy crap. And then he said, I know he likes to go fishing, so I'm going to take him fishing when he gets out. He did. Took me salmon fishing.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So contrast that with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, then Lou Alcindor, who you got to sit on the bench next to him. I mean, you know him.
Oh, I used to rebound for him, and I used to talk with him on the bus. And he was a very introverted, serious guy. He had the world's largest jazz record collection, which I'm now trying to catch up on. And he was reading constantly, playing chess with Lucius Allen. And he's just a wonderful human being. Just, you know, people just didn't understand him in the public. You know, they thought he rejected Milwaukee and stuff. It's just because he stood out like a sore thumb. He couldn't get any privacy, you know. He wanted to just be in a big city where he could go to jazz clubs and, you know, go to big libraries and all that kind of stuff. Because, you know, the guy's written over 30 books, and they're about the history of jazz in America and civil rights and his coach, John Wooden, and leadership. And he's just an incredible person. I've seen him multiple times and talked with him many times and since. And he's just a beautiful human. I mean, you ought to follow his blog. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got a Substack now, which is amazing to follow along with.
Yeah.
We should also mention we just recently lost Junior Bridgman.
Yeah, Junior Bridgman. The person, I became the youngest equipment manager in professional sports history at age 18 with the Milwaukee Bucks. And when I left to go to medical school, the person that replaced me wrote on a blog, sorry, I get a little emotional here.
I get it.
He said, Junior Bridgman was the finest human being that he'd ever met in his life. And that's true. Junior Bridgman started going to law school as soon as he got the Milwaukee Bucks in the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar trade. And he would always say, hi, Pat, how are you doing? How's school? Do-do-do-do. He would always check in with you, you know? And it was sincere and genuine. And I remember I was in Madison as a professor, and I was out on the east side working at a clinic, and I thought, oh, shoot, I'll stop in Wendy's and pick up a shake. I'm just a little bit hungry. And I get in there, and there's Junior Bridgman working the grill.
Oh, my gosh.
I thought, what the heck's going on? You know, he's scraping burgers and stuff. And I said, hey, Junior. And he goes, Pat, how are you doing? How's your kids? How's your family?
Wow.
And I said, what are you doing? He's got an apron on. He said, well, you've got to work. You've got to know all your people. You've got to know how, you know, and he gave me this little mini lecture. And he said, hey, I got to get back to work, you know. And he was setting the example for the young people there that you don't, you know, if a friend walks in, you don't waste a lot of time. You know, when their friends came in, they weren't going to say, hey, buddy, you know. And he just said hello, and checked in, and then got back to work. And I thought,
it's story after story like this in your book, The Luckiest Boy in the World. And I want to keep having this conversation. We definitely need to have you back in the future. But for now, Pat McBride, thank you so much for taking the time to join me today.
Thank you for having me on.
This is Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you all for joining us today. Please tune in every Saturday, 3 o'clock, Sunday, 3 o'clock, and find us streaming on the Civic Media app or wherever you get your podcasts. See you next time.
Come see what's brewing.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.